You're recording.
All right, we're back.
I'm not ready. If you guys want to.
They're doing another agenda item.
Yeah. Yeah, we're finishing. So we are on initial investigative reviews. Case number 2213. Read the summary. We had the respondent and counsel. Did you want to address the board?
Yes, sir.
Please state your names for the record.
Lorna Lannan.
And David Stoll, parents, legal counsel on behalf of Dr. Lannan.
Thank you. And I give you up 5 minutes to address the board.
I would actually like to address you on this case 22-13 and case C-22-04 involving Armando Felix. First, with regard to the PetSvet premise inspection matter, case 22-13, the vast majority of the alleged expired supplies were herbal supplements, which, as set forth in vendor letter I submitted, were not considered expired and therefore were not part of our usual inventory control protocol. Since receipt of your September 23rd, 2021 letter and knowing what the board's position is regard to these supplements, we now include them in that inventory protocol, and any of these supplements that could be considered expired have been removed from the practice premises. Second, I can say with all confidence that there are currently no expired medications on the practice premises, and we have installed locked drawers in each exam room to ensure that all prescription items are secured except when in use by authorized personnel. Having corrected these issues raised by your September 23rd, 2021 letter, we respectfully ask that this complaint be dismissed. Finally, with regard to the case involving Armando Felix, due to a concern that he was possibly engaged in unlicensed practice of veterinary medicine, I want you all to know that I first became aware of Armando in 2019 when he was a veterinary student and applied to our practice for an internship. He was accepted by the practice as an intern as part of his requirements to get his doctor of veterinary license degree, which he ultimately obtained. As Armando indicated in his October 15, 2021 letter to you, all of the veterinary medical services he performed at PetSvet were done under my supervision, and the limited number of surgeries he performed, which were routine spays and neuters and a small mass extraction, were on rescue pets that were not privately owned. It is my understanding that the statute defining what constitutes the practice of veterinary medicine in Arizona specifically excludes acts by a veterinary student as part of the student's educational experience if both of the following apply. A, the acts were assigned by a licensed veterinarian who's responsible for the animal's care, and B, the student works under the direct supervision of a licensed veterinarian. Both of these requirements apply here. The services Armando performed at PetSvet were assigned to him by me, and again were done under my direct supervision. Thank you.
I would also just like to add that this complaint was generated due to an anonymous complaint that was made by a disgruntled employee within days of her being fired from her job to practice. Thank you.
Thank you. The board is appointed.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask your attorney, Dr. Lannan, addressed case the CAC 22-04. I'm not sure that that case had been called. That's on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, only to the extent that you find what she said about the auspices of that other case relevant to the issues set forth in the investigative report, you can take that into consideration. Otherwise, if it doesn't have any any weight to the deliberations in front of you, just describe it.
Dr. Wright, you are the lead.
Okay, so I think at this time I would make a motion to pen this case. I would like to put a, the other members, if you think we should do 30 days or 60 days. Or to send a meeting or jam or meeting, I should say that's what you do.
Second?
Second.
You need a second?
No, do you want to do 30 days or 60 days? But I didn't say a timeframe, but that's what I was wondering, do we want to go to January or do you think we can complete this with the holidays?
I guess staff the preference. December or January?
January.
Okay, I'll make a motion to pen this case to January 2022.
Second.
And a motion for a second to pen 2213 to January 2022. Any further discussion? I just have one question. Have we referred the control drug logs to the DEA?
Yes, the DEA has been notified.
All right, so we already did that. All right, any other discussion? Motion on the floor is to pen this case till January 2022. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The motion passes from pen 2213 to January.
Mr. Chairman, may I be heard?
Pertaining to 2213?
2204, Dr. Landman wanted to be heard on that.
Well, we're going to call that next.
Okay.
And I think we're going to do them together. And then we have a, and that one was supposed to start now too, so let's finish that up. So we're doing those together, that is in section 5.1. Board may review discuss take action on C-2204 in regards to Armando Felix, unlicensed practitioner. And that is in the main menu. Dr. James is late. James, you with us?
I'm with you. Can you give me case number again? I'm looking through notes.
2204.
It's agenda item, session 5, number 1. It's a C case. Is Mr. Felix here?
He's not.
Okay, Dr. James and Ms. Solomon, I'm just so you know,
yes.
Mr. Felix is not here.
Okay. Thank you.
And so we don't need to translate it?
Correct.
Okay.
So on this case, are we just going straight to discussion or?
I guess this is all going to be heard on this one, so if there's no other.
Dr. Landman read a statement that addressed this case. Do you want her to repeat that portion of her statement that related to Dr.?
Mr. Stoll needs to speak into a microphone.
Did you want to hear Dr. Landman's statement reread concerning this case?
Yeah.
Or can you remember what she said a few minutes ago?
Mr. Logan, numbers.
No, I have what she said.
Have her reread it since we're doing it? Okay. Yes, let's reread it.
Thank you.
That portion of.
Thanks,
with regard to the case involving Armando Felix due to a concern that he was possibly engaged in unlicensed practice of veterinary medicine. I want you all to know that I first became aware of Armando in 2019 when he was a veterinary student and applied to our practice for an internship. He was accepted by the practice as an intern as part of his requirements to receive his doctor of veterinary license degree, which he ultimately obtained. As Armando indicated in his October 15th, 2021 letter to you, all of the veterinary medical services he performed at PetsVet were done under my supervision, and a limited number of surgeries he performed, which were routine spays and neuters and small mass extraction, were on rescue pets that were not privately owned. It is my understanding that the statute defining what constitutes the practice of veterinary medicine in Arizona specifically excludes acts by a veterinary student as part of the student's educational experience if both of the following apply. A, the acts were assigned by a licensed veterinarian who is responsible for the animal's care, and B, the student works under the direct supervision of a licensed veterinarian. Both of these requirements apply here. The services Armando performed at PetsVet were assigned to him by me, and again were done under my direct supervision.
Thank you. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
So this is case 2204. Can I ask a clarifying question of Dr. Lemon before we discuss?
Sure.
So at the time that Armando applied to be an intern, were you aware of the school he was attending and whether it was an accredited or non-accredited school?
I was not aware. I did not research the fact that it was an accredited or non-accredited. I knew the information that we received from the school, we filled out completely and received all that information.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions. Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Hall.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, I'd like to reference 3222-3222-01 in definitions. First, item number 30, which defines a veterinary student, means a student who is regularly enrolled in a veterinary college. And then item 27, defines that same section of the statute, defines veterinary college, means any veterinary college or division of the university that offers the degree of doctor of veterinary medicine or its equivalent, and that conforms to the standards required for accreditation by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
Thank you. So, meeting those strict requirements, Mr. Felix is not a veterinary student per the Arizona statutes and does not attain the veterinary college. So he doesn't meet this. It's not the definition of the law of a veterinary college or veterinary student to be excluded from the practice act. So he's not excluded as a student of a veterinary school. I can say that that is not a, what they call a veterinary degree in Mexico, but not what we call a veterinary degree. Anything else is a degree, an alternative degree, not a veterinary medicine degree. It's a bachelor.
I also got a clarifying question. I don't know if I can, if the council is okay with this. But you mentioned that he had been serving on rescue pets and not privately owned pets. Was he employed by that rescue at that time?
Was he employed by a rescue?
Yeah, was he employed by the rescue to do his surgery?
No.
Okay. So they were privately owned pets. They were privately owned by the rescue, correct?
No, these were not. These were just feral animals.
The rescue brought them in and made a bill?
No. The rescue did not bring him in.
He said the rescue pets. Who brought the pets in?
These were people who were trying to rid the area of cats that were running loose.
So people trapped the cats and brought them in? So they were their pets, so that happened?
No.
They were the ones that submitted anything else? I'm just curious, because you said they were not owned animals, but someone brought them in.
They were not owned animals.
So did employees of your hospital bring them in?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, some that were, no, they did not. There were no employees who brought in the animals.
Okay.
So in this case, I mean, clearly what the doctor is working under is not in line with the written law, but it definitely sounds like it was a failure to understand the law rather than a direct intent to violate it. At this point, my understanding is this person is no longer practicing or doing procedures and no longer being referred to as a doctor in the practice and all of that. So I guess I'm at a loss of two options that we can take at this point because it's kind of already over.
Well, there's reasons we have this statute's limitations on that. I don't think it should run out of this. It's not 10 years old. It's a year or two old.
No. No, I mean, I guess the way I'm looking at it is we could find a violation because technically he should not have been doing what he was doing. I think the question is, does it change because the doctor was inadequately informed, which is her responsibility, as to the difference between him being in a school that's accredited and not accredited and what the actual definition of a student actually is.
We're going off the weeds on a totally different, this case actually has nothing to do with Dr. Landman at all. She just happened to be at the facility where this unlicensed practitioner was at. This case is solely about the unlicensed practitioner, and we can't find a violation because he's not a licensee. So what we can do is issue a letter of concern and report it to the county attorney and the state attorney general.
But Mr. O'Neill, members of the board, you have a number of options available to you. One is just to, I think the letter of concern is more of an educational letter. A letter of concern is something that you would issue to a licensee and you don't find it arises inside of the county. But you do have the ability to send an educational letter letting him know that what he did was wrong and, you know, what the law says for purposes of educating him so he never finds himself in that situation again. So you think it rises to a issuance of a cease and desist. You can go ahead and order that he issue a cease and desist for his conduct. As well as you indicated, Mr. Lowe, he always has the ability to remand to either the Dean County or the Attorney General's office for review.
Dr. James, those are your options.
So I would, I would make a motion that we send a cease and desist to Armando Felix, letting him know of the rules and regulations and how they're to be interpreted and that he has to stop what he's doing and using it as also a form of education. But I think it needs to be in a cease and desist format so that it's very clear that he can't continue any of either the practice of medicine or being called a doctor, because there was a lot of reference, you know, as far as we've had other cases where we talked about people being referred to as doctors that aren't technically doctors. So, both of those, I think, need to be in the cease and desist.
So, is that a motion?
Second.
Any second?
So is this not being referred anywhere else? It's just a cease and desist at this point?
That's the issue of the motion. Any further discussion? This is for taking an action of the decision, but we will call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Mr. Lowey?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Dr. Ritter is aye.
It's got Dr. Jane's.
Oh, Dr. Jane, sorry.
And Ms. Sullivan.
There's Dr. Jane's and Ms. Sullivan. Phone.
Aye.
Okay, that was an aye for Dr. Jane's and an aye for Ms. Sullivan. Motion still carries, thank you.
Correct.
All right, staff will order that, or issue that, letter. That includes point number four. And there's, and our pass, or in.